Well, I want to quickly preach to you from the topic, what Jesus wants. What Jesus wants. I want you to look at your neighbor, tell them you look okay. Tell the other one you look cool. I want to speak to you from the topic, what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us to be in a certain way. Jesus doesn't want us to be as we want to be. Jesus wants us to be as He wants us to be. Number one, the Lord wants you to be passionate about Him, passionate about the gospel, passionate about church, and passionate about people. Jesus wants you to be passionate about Him, passionate about the church, passionate about the gospel, and passionate about people. In John chapter 2, verse 17 in the Bible, if you have your Bibles here, watch with me. It says, then His disciples remembered the prophecy from the Scripture saying, passion for God's house will consume me. Friends, I want to tell you, it is God's desire for you to become passionate about His house, passionate about Him, passionate about the kingdom, passionate about preaching the gospel, passionate about people. The Bible says when Jesus left, when He turned the tables and He kicked everybody out, that's religious, out of the temple. They said, oh, we remember the Scripture said, passion for the house will consume it. I want to tell you that Jesus wants you to have passion for the house of God. He wants you to have passion for Him, passion for people, passion for the gospel, and passion for the church. The second thing that I want you to know that Jesus wants in your life is He wants you to be undivided about Him, undivided about the gospel, undivided when it comes to church, and undivided about what you are doing for God. The second thing is He wants you to be undivided about Him. He doesn't want you to be divided when it comes to Him. Jesus, my friends. Jesus, my job. No. Undivided about Him. Undivided about your church. Undivided about the gospel. Undivided about what you are doing for Him. In 1 Corinthians 17, 35 in the Amplified Bible, it says, now I say this for your own welfare and profit, not to put a halter of restraint upon you, but to promote what is seemingly and in good order, and to secure your undistracted and undivided devotion to the Lord. God doesn't want you to be distracted by worldly things and worldly stuff. He wants you to be undivided and undistracted when it comes to Him, His church, His ways of doing things, the gospel, building the church of God, being involved in the things of God. Number three, are you still with me? Jesus wants you to be a person of undiluted truth. Undiluted truth. He wants us to be people of undiluted truth. In Job 36, verse 1 to 4 in the Message Bible, it says here, Elu took a deep breath, but kept going. Stay with me a little longer, I'll convince you. There's still more to be said on God's side. I learned all this firsthand from the source. Everything I know about justice I owe to my Maker Himself. Trust me, I'm giving you undiluted truth. Job is going through a tough time, man. Everything is falling apart. But he has one friend that says, listen, I've been to the source. I've been to my Maker. Let me tell you, I am going to listen to me. I am going to convince you. I'm going to change your mind because I am going to give you undiluted truth. I tell you, friends, there's a world out there that needs undiluted truth. They will only become convinced when we start to become people of undiluted truth. Jesus wants you to be a person of undiluted truth. Always give people undiluted truth. Number four, Jesus wants you to be unashamed about Him, unashamed about the gospel, unashamed about church and what you do for God's kingdom. He wants you to be unashamed. He doesn't want you to be full on a Sunday, but Monday You're a submarine Christian. Nobody knows that you were going to church because you are ashamed to tell them that you were at church all day. What did you do over the weekend? Well, I went to the leadership training, but you are too ashamed to say that. Oh, I've been at church actually 4 services the whole day, but you are so ashamed to say that. I want to tell you that Jesus wants you to be unashamed about the gospel, unashamed about your church, unashamed of what you do for Him. Unashamed. Mark 8:38, the Bible says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." That's tight. That's very tight for many people. Because Jesus said, if he comes back and he finds you a submarine Christian, he's going to be a submarine God. He finds you being ashamed of him, ashamed of your church, ashamed of what you do for God. He says, then I'm going to be ashamed about you before the Father. I want to tell you, Jesus does not want any of his people to be ashamed about the church, about the kingdom, about the message, and about what we do for him. He wants us to be loud and unashamed about him, his kingdom, and his ways. 1 Peter 4:16 says the following, that if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Now, suffering for Jesus is not having cookies after a service. You laugh? That is how far the church has gone these days. People think they suffer because there's not coffee at church. Suffering for Jesus is when people want to kill you. They want to destroy you because you know Jesus, because you stand for Jesus. And here my Bible says, when you go through that type of persecution, rejoice. Through that process, you glorify Him. I want to challenge you to become unashamed. Unashamed about this church, unashamed about Jesus, unashamed about his message, unashamed about his kingdom, unashamed about what God is doing in this church, in this nation, all over the world. Be unashamed. In 2 Corinthians 10:8 says, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed. He writes to a church that doesn't want to acknowledge his authority. They're rebellious. What does he do? He says, listen, you need to let it drop in your spirit and in your mind. Get it here. My authority is not for your destruction, but for your edification. Friends, you have to you have to get this. If you get anything, get this principle. God's authority is not there for your destruction. It is there for your edification. And real, proper, godly authority is not going to be ashamed to be godly authority in your life. But if you are going to kick against God and against godly authority, you will become a goat. You will look like a sheep, but you will have the character of Satan. Did he say that in church? Yes. Paul is riding on his donkey on the way to Damascus. He is the great Christian slayer. He's on his way to kill Christians. On the way, God knocked him off the donkey. When he hit the ground, the first thing he saw is God's authority. Jesus said to him, what are you doing, bro? What are you doing, bro? He says, Lord, who are you? Immediately, he knew that he was busy with something great. And the Lord said to him, Paul, why are you kicking against the goats? He said, why are you kicking against my authority? And then God blinded him. Bam, blind. So that he had to be led. Here, great Paul, the Christian slayer, walked into Jesus, bam, knocked off his horse. The first revelation that he get is God's authority, and then God blinded him. So that he, they didn't lead him to Peter. They didn't lead him to John. They didn't lead him to James. They led him to a mere home cell leader. And God said to him, listen, bro, you ever want to see? The only one that's going to help you to see is that home cell leader. Yeah. Amen. I want to see Pastor Tabu. You're going to stay blind. You're going to stay blind. You're going to stay blind. Only a pastor can help me. You are blind. Maybe God has not destined for Pastor Tabu to ever see you. But a mere home cell leader. That home cell leader spent time with Paul. That home cell leader baptized Paul, filled Paul with the Holy Spirit, and then prayed for him to see. You need to get a revelation of the authority of God. Stop kicking against what God wants to do in your life. Are you with me? Real godly authority will never be ashamed to be authority in your life. Romans chapter 1:16 says the following, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The moment you are ashamed, you make it powerless. The moment you start to cat foot around people, you make it powerless. It's like a lion in a cage. Just let the door open. You don't have to defend the gospel. Just let it go. Learn to let it go. Learn to give it undiluted truth to people and let it go. It's not going to devour the people. It's going to change the people. But the moment that you have an attitude of I'm ashamed, then you are deluding the gospel. You are taking the power out of it. Number five, Jesus wants you to be untimid. Untimid. Timid means the following: lacking in self-assurance, courage, bravery, easily alarmed, shy. Now, can I just ask any shy people here? Can I ask for you guys to point out a shy person? You should ask people, am I shy? Jesus doesn't want you to be shy. He wants you to be untimid. Not timid. He doesn't want you to go through life like a dog with his tail between his legs. God doesn't want that for you. God wants you to be self-assured in Him. Self-assured in Him. He wants you to be brave, full of courage. I can remember how He said to Joshua. He says, be full of courage. Be bold. Timid means characterized by or indicating fear. Now, untimid is the opposite of that. That means God wants you to be self-assured, full of courage. He wants you to be brave. He wants you not to be easily alarmed. And He doesn't want your life to be characterized by fear. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Doesn't want you to be shy. Get over your shyness. Problem is most of you are not ministering in the Spirit and in the fire of God. The Bible says when the Spirit of God comes upon you, He will change you into another man. B be self-assured. Your life should not be characterized by fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Say it with me. Power. No. Say it. Say, I can't feel you. Say it. Power.
Power.
Say it. Love.
Love.
Say it with me. Love.
Love.
And a sound mind.
Sound.
That means a mind of self-control. Not a mind that's out of control. A mind of self-control. A spirit of power. Say it with me. Have you seen the movie Cool Runnings? Have you seen it? Have you seen Sanka said to them? What he said to them? No, I'm Sanka. Say it with me. Power.
Power.
I don't feel you. Power.
Power.
Love.
Love.
And a sound mind.
Sound.
That's your spirit. That's the real you. There's no place for shyness in there. No place of not being assured. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of intimidity, cowardice, ooh, craven and cringing and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind. And discipline and self-control. Tell your neighbor, ouch. Tell another neighbor, I think he's talking to you. Acts chapter 4:31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. You want freedom, boldness, and courage to speak the word of God? Get your backside to a prayer meeting and start learning how to pray. Number six. I'm not going to park there because I'm going to keep you busy. I might offend some of you. Jesus wants you to be undaunted. Say it with me, undaunted. Daunted means to overcome with fear and to be intimidated. It means to lessen the courage of disheartened. So he wants you to be undisheartened. He wants you to be unintimidated. There is a spirit of intimidation that you will have to take control of. Jesus wants you to be unintimidated when it comes to Him, His church, His ways, His people, and the way He's doing things. Undaunted means you are not intimidated by no one and never becomes disheartened. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hey, listen, I've been in this thing for a while. You're going to want to be, your heart is going to sometimes become disheartened. Just stick around. Just stick around. You think you're tough? Stick around. There's a place where you're going to cry like a baby. Doesn't want you to become disheartened. When you become disheartened, it is not the sign or the card to leave. When you're going to leave, when you become disheartened, is when you're going to have problems. When you are disheartened, you need to become as stubborn as a donkey. Kick your heels in the church that you are at.
Amen.
Nothing is going to get me out. I'm going to get through. Don't become stubborn towards the pastors and the ministry and everything. Become stubborn against anything that wants to get you out. Kick your heels in and just go and work through that season. But if you are constantly disheartened, Jesus wants you to know today that you need to stop being like that, because He wants you to to be undaunted. Number 7, Jesus wants you to be unswerving. Did I pronounce it right? Did you get it? Unswerving. He doesn't want you to walk like a drunk man. Now one day I'm serving Jesus, then 5 days I'm not serving Jesus. Then Sunday I'm serving Jesus, and then Friday to Saturday I'm not serving Jesus. You have to be drunk in the spirit, not in that way. Oh, then you love God, and then you're not so sure anymore. Then you are in love with Jesus, and then you're not so sure anymore. Then CRC is the best place after sliced bread, then it's not the best place anymore. Then, oh, Pastor Tabo, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then, oh, I'm not so sure about him loving me anymore. Jesus doesn't want you to be like that. But you have to know that that temptation will come. And tonight he wants you to know to be unswerving. To swerve means to turn aside, erupt in movement or direction, deviate suddenly from the straight or direct course. Doesn't want you to deviate. He wants you to stay in course. Want to stay in a home cell. Stay in the ministry. Stay in the church. Keep on praying. Keep on giving. Keep on reaching out. Keep on expecting great things. Keep on prophesying your life is changing. Keep on looking for better things to come. Number 8. Is it helping somebody? Jesus wants you to be unstoppable. I tell your neighbor, I'm becoming unstoppable. Tell your neighbor, you need to become unstoppable. Unstoppable means that what cannot be stopped or surpassed. Unbeatable. Jesus wants you to know that nothing can beat you. There's not a thing in this world that you can't overcome with Jesus. You can go through every situation with Jesus, and then you will get to the other side victorious. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that you are the fragrance of Christ and you are the trophies of Christ. Taking you from victory to victory. You only get a trophy after you've won the race. When you read this book, you find that you are victorious. Am I speaking to the right people? You are victorious. You are unbeatable. Nothing can pass you by. In Joel chapter 2, verse 7, in the Amplified Bible, in the Message Bible, just wait, it says here, watch it. It says, the invaders charge. They climb barricades. Nothing stops them. Each soldier does what he is told. So disciplined. So determined. They don't get in each other's way. Each one knows his job and does it. Undaunted and fearless, unswerving, unstoppable. They storm the city, swarm its defenses, loot the houses, breaking down doors, smashing windows. I read this and I thought, I'm going to kick the devil's butt. I thought, but this is a picture of the devil's army storming Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit said to me, so disciplined. I thought, Lord, let me just look at this. Now check this. They are alive like an earthquake, swept through like a tornado. Sun and moon turned out their lights. Stars blackout. God himself bellows in thunder as he commands his forces. Look at the size of that army and the strength of those who obey him. God's judgment day, great and terrible. Who can possibly survive this? There's an army coming. There's an army on the horizon coming. It's too big to number. That army is unstoppable. And you are part of that unstoppable force. You call that army the Jesus army. What makes them unstoppable is that each soldier does what he is told. I want you to write it down because you are in his army. And what makes his army unstoppable, unbeatable, is the fact that everyone does what he is told. Looking at the church today, I found that we are not an army yet. Because everybody does what they want. But the army that is coming is unstoppable. Number one, because every soldier does what he's told. Number two, they are disciplined. Didn't Jesus say, go and make disciples? Go and make disciples. He is building an army where everyone is doing what he is told and everyone is disciplined. Number three, they are unstoppable because they are determined. They've made up their mind who they want to serve. The prophet says, if Baal is God, serve him. But if Jesus is God, then I better suggest you get in line and serve him. But you need to make up your mind. Because I tell you today, there's an army coming. And that army is disciplined. And that army is determined. And that army is in line with what God wants from heaven. And that army obeys his name. Number four. They don't get in each other's way. Don't get into each other's way. Friends, you are in this church for a reason. That's why I don't have to go and pray with other brothers. I don't want to get in their way. They've got their lane. You've got your lane. Amen. Stay in your lane and run your race. Amen. And by the way, run it to win it. Amen. This army is disciplined because they don't what? Get into each other's way. They have a mandate. This is what we do. You are artillery. You foot soldiers. You are parachuters. You are cooks. Thank God we are not cooks. I'm going to thank Jesus one day. We are the SAS. Think you didn't hear what I say. We are the SAS. We are the special paratroopers. Did you hear what I'm saying? We are the SAS. We are the special paratroopers. You don't just get elected by easy things in this church, in this vision. So stop trying to figure it out. God is building his church. Just stay in your lane. Stop trying. Oh, we need to pray together. No, no, no. You pray. You pray. Don't get in other people's way. Don't look at other people. Don't look at other churches. Run my race. Number five, are you with me? They are unstoppable because each one knows his job and does it. I like it. I don't need you to be smart. Really, if you are in this church, just do what you are told. If you build home shells, more than 50 in a year, I guarantee you, me and you will have coffee. I'll invite you. But until that day, just shut up and listen. Do what you are told. I have found in the army, you come in there, it is not 3 weeks. They've cut your hair. Thank God they can't cut mine. I cut it so by myself. But Pastor Stephen, come here. Look. Oh, they're going to mess him up. Everything is going to be gone. The clothes, it's going to be gone. Everything. Doesn't matter who he is. Oh, I've been born again for 10 years. I don't care. You can be born again for 150. When you come into this place, all I ask you is to do what you are told. And unless you can do that, we're not interested. Because we are determined. And we are becoming unstoppable. So I don't need you to be smart. I just need you to listen. And if you listen carefully, you will be smart. And when you become smart, I promise you, you will have fruit. And when you have fruit, I am the first one that will take you for lunch and ask you, let's talk. How did you do that? How did you get those many people to follow you, to serve like you serve? How did you care for them in such a way? Come, I want you to come. I want you to come. But you see, every one of you are like where I was when I came in. I'm God's gift to this church. Yeah. Slap your neighbor and say, that's tight. How did he know that? We want you to shake the world. We want you to be history makers and world shakers. Come on. We're not here to settle in. We're here to take over. We're not here to settle in. We're here to take over. So we don't want you to come and be intimidated. We want you to be in line. We want you to follow orders. We want you to. You know, the Bible says that what made King David great was the people. But when you study the life of King David, you find that the men could keep battle formation and rank. They could keep battle formation. And they could keep rank. Can you keep battle formation? Can you keep rank? Can you do what you are told to do? Awful quiet here now suddenly. I thought you're coming for good news. Do you want to become unstoppable? Then you need to listen. God won't violate these principles. He won't violate His word. If we want to become unstoppable, if we want to be part of this army returning, then you need to know this army is disciplined. This army is determined. This army, everyone does what he's told. This army, everyone is on a mission. They don't get in each other's way. Everyone has his job and he does it. Number six, they are undaunted and fearless. Thanks, brother. Fearless. Fearless. What can man do to you? I have found that all the big shots are actually not so big shot in here. All they want is to see in your eyes that you are serious. Oh, I don't like what you hear, what you say to me. I want to smack you. No, they're not going to smack you. They're not even going to lift up their hand. All they want to look into your eyes and know that you are, know what you're talking about. Become fearless, undaunted. Are you with me? Last one. Are you still with me? True strength is in their obedience. Awful quiet here. Obedience is not a swear word. Power is in obedience. I can remember how the Holy Spirit taught me obedience. I was serving in church, you know, as you all serve. And then I back out the stuff and I tape the cords, but I just tape it like I want. After I taped, the Holy Spirit said to him, is that in a straight line? Yeah, but nobody will see it. It's behind the stage. And the Holy Spirit says to me, well, I'd see it behind the stage. Then I walk past in church, and then suddenly as I walk past, there's a small piece of paper. And then I see the paper, but I walk past the paper like as if I didn't see it. Any of you been there?
Yeah.
And as you pass the paper, you feel somebody saying to you, pick it up. And then you say, I'm not an usher. Am I talking to the right people? You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said to me, oh, you want to hear me when you preach? And you want to have words of knowledge in front of people? But you don't want to pick up the paper when I tell you to pick it up? Says, forgive it, bro. Forget it, bro. Just forget it. If you can't listen to me in the small things, then you won't listen to me in the big things. So next time, when you're walking and you see the paper, it ain't the devil. If you hear that voice telling you, pick it up, it ain't the devil. It's God. The army of the Lord is unstoppable. And they are unstoppable for a reason. They're not unstoppable because they have the Jesus badge on their car somewhere. You won't become unstoppable because, oh, you know Jesus. That's a very good start to become unstoppable. But you ain't going to become unstoppable if you are not prepared to fall in the guidelines of this army. You're going to fight in a different army. But the army that your commander is commanding, and the one that is coming back, is not a Jesus meek and mild. It is not the Jesus of your Bible book with a lamb under his arms. The man that is coming back, God has fire in his eyes. He has a rope that drips in blood. He is King of kings and he is Lord of lords. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord Almighty. No matter what you think, no matter what you believe, no matter how you think you're going to stand, you ain't going to stand nowhere. The Bible says he comes back to rule with an iron rod. And as the church, we are busy being prepared to be obedient. When he says go left, you will willingly go left. When he says jump, you ask how high. When he says conquer, you say let's go. When he says all over that, you say that's not a problem. In this whole process, he won't violate your free will. You won't violate it. He's working with your free will. And like tonight, you need to choose to become unstoppable. And it's so easy. Look at the characteristics of these men. Just easy. Run your race in your lane. Don't get into other people's paths. Don't look left. Don't look right. Run to win. Stay. Be determined. Become fearless. Be unashamed. Undaunted. You know who's with you. You know who's with you. I say you know who's with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Your strength lies in your obedience. Learn to be obedient in the small things. Didn't Solomon say it's the small jackal that destroys the vineyards. Take care of the pennies. Take care of the pennies. And the pounds take care of themselves. Learn to be obedient in the small things. And you will see the power of God comes into your life. And He will beautify your life. When you touch things, they change. When you speak to people, they transform. When you share the word, they get touched. Small things. Small things. Small things. The first king of the kingdom of God here on earth, King Saul. He lost everything. Everything. Just because he was disobedient. That has to tell you something about how serious it is to be obedient to God. King Saul, God tells him, kill everything. But he wanted to be smart. And he killed everything except the king and the oxen. Because he thought, I'm going to bring a sacrifice to God. God took his kingdom from him immediately. And gave it to a David that God knew is a man after his heart. I want to encourage you. Many of you are young here, under 80. It's not too late. Become obedient. Your strength is in obedience to the Lord. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you give us a glimpse of what we are part of. Thank you that you want us to be unstoppable. Thank you that you made us, Lord, not to swerve, but to stay on course. And thank you that you're always ready to help us through your Holy Spirit and your word to become even better. Thank you that you called us to be the light of the city and the salt of this earth. And Lord, we thank you that you love us so much, that we are so special. Lord, and I thank you that the only thing that makes us so special is Jesus. Because once we were walking in darkness, and then Jesus called us and said, come into my marvelous light. And I want to tell you, friends, God wants you to know that you are special. You might be here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Listen to me. You are special. You are so special that God sent His Son 2,000 years ago to die on a cross so that today you can have eternal life. The Bible says when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become part of a peculiar nation, a royal priesthood. And God is the center of that kingdom. Isn't it time to make God the center of your life? Maybe you're sitting here and you're not sure if you're ever going to go to heaven because you know that you don't have a relationship with God. You don't have the assurance of eternal life. I want to ask you before we go today, can I please pray with you? Because right now God is calling you. Right now God is saying, come back home. Come. I've got a better destiny for you. I've got a great future for you. I have a plan with your life. You have to choose life tonight. Before we go tonight, if it's you that I'm talking about and you say, Tabu, yes, I want to become a part of Jesus' army. I want to give my life to God. I want to be right with God. I want to know that God, I'm in God's side and God's on my side. And let us pray together. And while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed and you say, yes, that's me, then I want to ask you, slip up your hand quickly and show me by hand and say, Tabu, pray with me. Pray with me. Thank you. I see your hand in the front. If you've put it up, you can put it down, but wherever you are, on the balcony, on the back, here in the front, you say, Tabu, that's me. I want to be included in this prayer. Then I want to ask you, just slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand high. I'm going to pray with you. And before we go today, your life is going to change. God is going to come into your life. He's going to lift you up. He's going to dust you off. And He's going to put you on a new course. You haven't put up your hand yet. You know you should. Just slip it up high. Say, Tabu, here I am. Pray with me. Thank you. I see your hand. If you put it up, put it down. You can put it down. But listen, God is calling you right now. You are designed to hear His voice. That voice telling you, put up your hand, put up your hand. That is God. That is Jesus telling you, come, let them pray for you. You haven't put up your hand yet. You know you should. Slip it up. Just slip it up once. Say, Tabu, here I am. Pray with me. And we're going to pray with you. Thank you. Now in the back, there's another hand or two going up. I'm going to pray in the moment. You haven't put up your hand yet. Slip it up quick so we can see. There in the back, way in the back. Thank you. I see your hand. Come on, God calls you. He's after your heart. He wants you. What a wonderful thing to know that Jesus wants you. Thank you. In the front over here, I see your hand. You can put it down. Thank you. Come on, put up your hand. Say, here I am, Tabu. Pray with me. Yes, we're going to pray with you. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. May your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Well, I want to tell you that the Bible is very clear. No man can get you to make this decision except the Spirit of God. That means, as I preached, you just heard the voice of God telling you to come back home. All I'm going to do is I'm going to just present you to Jesus. And if you believe and make your commitment to follow Him, your whole life is going to change. God is going to use you for His glory. And that's what He wants to do. Amen. Such an honor to pray with me. Everybody else, stretch out to them. I want you to pray this out loud. Put your hand on your heart. Close your eyes. And just pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today and I ask for forgiveness. I thank you, Father, that you love me, that you sent Jesus to die for me. I believe with all my heart that He's your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Thank you that you gave your life for me so that I can have an abundant life. Father, thank you for accepting me. Use me in your kingdom. Fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.